The book of Esther, chapter 5, we'll beginning at verse 1. Esther, chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Now it came to pass on the third day. Now you do remember that Esther had asked Mordecai to get the Jews there in Shushan to fast for 3 days and three nights, that she was going to ask her maidens to do the same, and that she also would fast for 3 days and three nights. And now it has come to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, "What wilt thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be even given thee to the half of the kingdom." And Esther answered, "If it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him." Then the king said, "Cause Haman to make haste, that he may do as Esther hath said." So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, your hand of blessing upon the thoughts that we're giving tonight. And Lord, as we think of Esther and Mordecai and the Jews that were living at that point in time, in which all of their lives were threatened by the decree of Haman, Lord, we believe under the influence of our spiritual enemy. And Lord, as we think about this, we realize that in your sovereignty, you knew exactly what was going to happen, and you knew how you would handle it. And Lord, we think of in our day and age with the different issues that we are facing. Lord, we realize that you are still sovereign, that these things did not catch you by surprise, and you know exactly what you are going to do. And Lord, we thank you for this, for the peace and comfort that you give us. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Last week, we noted Esther puts on her royal apparel. Now, I've been pondering that exactly what her royal apparel would be in comparison as to what she would normally wear. Because I would presume that Esther would be the best dressed woman in Shushan. That no one would be dressed better than her. You know, it's kind of like being at a wedding and you don't want to look better than the bride. We find number two, she then stood in the inner court where King Ahasuerus sat upon his royal throne. I don't know how much she trembled as she walked from her apartment towards the courtyard. I don't know what she was pondering as she walked in that direction and as she went into the very room where the king was on the throne, uninvited, knowing that if the king did not acknowledge her in a positive way, they would have taken her out and she would have been executed. Number three, at some point he notices her. Now, maybe I'm making more out of this just to make it sound exciting, but was she in there 5 minutes before he noticed her? Was she there 10 minutes before he noticed her? Whatever time it was, I'm sure other people noticed that Esther had come into the room. There's the queen, and she's not on the schedule. And there she is standing over there. Boy, she looks good. But what if the king is not in the best of moods? What's going to happen? Number four, the Bible says that she obtained favor in his sight. To obtain favor. A number of months ago, Pastor Stephen and I went over to Lansing to a pastor's meeting, and they were talking there with some men that were inviting people to come to Washington, D.C., And they were going to take us on a tour of these different offices, and they were going to introduce to us the men that represented Michigan. And they said we could come. And I told the man, I said, I want to ride in your van. And I saw in his eyes that, oh, that's nice. But I'm not one of the big guys from Michigan. And I said, I'll come if you guarantee I'll be in your van. And he says, well, sign up. Well, I haven't signed up because I don't think I got favor in his eyes. Then, you know, it's nice when we get favor. Number five, a collective intake of breath is heard when he extended his golden scepter toward her. Now, the Bible doesn't say that a collective intake of breath is heard. But I'm pondering what happened, and I'm thinking that's exactly what happened. That as she is standing there, and he notices her, and everybody's waiting. And then he raised the scepter. To paraphrase number six, he asks her what she wants. What do you want? And I'll give it to you. Up to half of the kingdom. Now, do you think he would have really given her half of the kingdom? You know, I know that a lot of times royalty did that, but I really think it was just something they said. Number seven, to which she responds, again paraphrasing, that she wishes that he and Haman would come to a banquet that she had prepared. Now, you ponder that for a moment. How long has it been since the king has asked Esther to come to him? Do you remember? 30 days. And I'm wondering if the king's thinking, why do you want Haman? Why not just me? You know, I'm your husband. I'm the king. But he agrees. And so he calls and tells Haman to make haste. Number eight, the king is either very hungry or he is really interested in what Esther wants, or the Lord is already beginning to undo what Haman has initiated. Now, I think it's the latter point, that he wasn't really that hungry, and he maybe was not even interested in what Esther had to say, but I believe that God was working in his heart. And I believe that's very important that God can work in our hearts. Verse 6. And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? Even to the half of the kingdom it shall be performed. Now you can see the curiosity there, right? The king is wanting to know, okay, we're here. What's it all about? Verse 7, then answered Esther and said, my petition and my request is, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king hath said. Then went Haman forth that day joyful and with a glad heart. Now stop reading because that's as far as we're going today. Haman is excited. As we stated last week, four forces are working together to destroy Haman. And we looked at this last week, divine sovereignty. Divine sovereignty. For whatever reason, God has made the Jews the apple of his eye. For whatever reason, that was the group of people, the nation that he would use to bring the word of God into our hands. It is through that group of people that the Messiah would come. And God has a plan. No matter how hard Satan tries to defeat it, it will continue. Didn't Jesus say about the church that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it? no matter what comes against the church, it still continues. Tonight we'll look at false confidence. False confidence. And the two other thoughts are pride and malice, and then we'll be getting to those maybe next week. So point number two is false confidence. Last week we looked at divine sovereignty. False confidence. Truly, what an honor for Haman to attend a special banquet with the king and queen alone and in the queen's private apartment. I mean, he had to be on, what's that, cloud nine? Hey, he must have thought, wow, I'm really doing well. And so here he is. There is the queen, there is the king, here is Haman, the three of them alone. And don't you think the food was the best in the land? I don't know what it would have been, but I'm sure it was good. I'm sure it was tasty. And I'm sure the dessert was something that was really something to die for. It is unlikely that any official in the empire had ever been so honored. Most likely, no official had ever been in her apartment other than the king. So you can imagine the honor that he felt. As Haman ate and drank with the king and Esther, his confidence grew. Have you ever been playing a game of some type and your confidence was at a low ebb and you think, I'll never win? But then something begins to change, and I don't want to use the word luck, but whatever word you want to use. And suddenly, instead of losing, you're winning. Well, how does your confidence go? It goes up, doesn't it? You begin to think, hey, I'm doing pretty good here. And that's exactly what Haman thought. Number one, his desire was to get rid of Mordecai, and not only Mordecai, but all of the Jews. And everything seems to be going in his direction. The posts have been sent out. The letters have been sent out. The decree has been sent out. And people are getting prepared to do away with the Jews. And there has been no fallback. Nobody has come to the king in defense of the Jews. And he's thinking all is going well. He was indeed an important man in the kingdom. And his future seemed very secure. You know, I was reading an article about the security of the funds that we have in our 401 in our savings accounts. And, you know, people are, some are secure in what they have, and others are wondering what 5 years down the road we'll have. I mean, when the nation is trillions of dollars in debt, you have to ponder what's going to happen to our money. You know, is our future truly secure? Well, let me say this for the born-again believer. Our future is secure. No matter what happens here on the earth, someday we're going to spend eternity in heaven, and it's going to be a great day. I sometimes wonder, and I hope that you ponder things that you read in the Bible, but I ponder about the street of gold. Do you ever wonder why it's gold? Why is it a street of gold? And I have to ponder that here on earth, gold is so important, but in heaven, it's just something we walk on. Who knows? But his future seemed very secure. Can you imagine? The king was asking a second time what Esther wanted with him sitting right there. It gave him even more confidence. I mean, his confidence is just growing by leaps and bounds that everything is fine. And sometimes the world feels that way, that everything is fine. But you know what? The Lord's in control. I wonder if he thought that the queen must value his counsel, that the queen valued something that he had to say. Whatever reason would it be for him to be there? The Lord had laid on Esther's heart to have another banquet on the following day, setting the scene for Mordecai to be honored and Haman to be humiliated. When that took place, Haman should have immediately said, uh-oh, Things are going in the wrong direction, but at this point in time, everything's going in his direction. Warren Wiersbe writes, "We see the sovereign hand of God at work in the way the king accepted the delay and agreed to come to the second banquet. Monarchs like Ahasuerus are not accustomed to being told to wait." Proverbs 16:1 says, "The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." And again in chapter 19, verse 21, "There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Psalms that the Lord laughs at the kings of the world who try to dethrone him. Whatever plans Ahasuerus had made for this next evening were canceled to make time for the queen's second feast, unquote. Of interest, none of Esther's attendants, who knew that she was a Jewess, tried to convey this important information to Haman. Nobody, shall we say, tattled on her. Nobody came and said, "Do you know who Esther is?" Nobody did that. I'm sure that if Haman had known the queen's nationality, he would have immediately devised some plan to prevent her from interfering. But God had kept that a secret. Again, palace intrigue is a dangerous game. And any of the attendants could have profited by telling Haman what they knew. We see in verse 12 that the invitation to the second banquet only increased this evil man's confidence. Let's read verse 12. "And Haman said, moreover, yea, Esther the queen did let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared but myself. And tomorrow am I invited unto her also with the king." So his confidence, as I have stated, has continued to rise. And as long as her enemy was overconfident, she knew it would lead to his downfall and hopefully to the saving of the Jewish people. Now, when I say in the hope of the saving of the Jewish people, you would say, well, Haman's gone. Yes, but the decree had already been made. And they weren't going to change the decree. There was going to have to be another way to get around that. Proverbs 28:26. "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." You know, that verse really strikes at all of us, doesn't it? That if we trust in our own heart, God says we are a fool. Like the rich man in our Lord's parable in Luke chapter 12, Haman was confident that he was set for life, when in reality he was just a few hours away from death. Keeping your place here, turn to the book of Luke chapter 12, if you would, please. Luke chapter 12. It's an interesting thing when you can, shall we say, get defeat out of the jaws of victory. And that's exactly what Haman is going to do. But Luke chapter 12, and we'll begin reading at verse 16. And it says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." I'm going to tell you, that is a very powerful statement by Jesus, that we need to make sure that we are right with God. Two other men come to mind whose false confidence led to their death. One is King Belshazzar. This king held a great feast during which he blasphemed the God of Israel. And by sending handwriting on the wall, God announced his doom. And that very night, Babylon was conquered and Belshazzar was slain. And how about Judas Iscariot? An apostle of the Lord that was not a true believer, but a traitor and a thief. In the upper room, he sat in the place of honor at the table, and none of the other disciples knew what was in his heart. But Jesus knew what Judas was and what Judas was going to do, and he hid this knowledge from his disciples. Confident that he had everything under control, Judas betrayed Jesus to the enemy and yet would end up committing suicide. So let me ask you the question. Where is the only safe place to put your confidence? In the Lord. In the Lord. Take your Bibles and, if you would, while we still have time, the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. Putting your confidence in the Lord is important. Pastor Stephen was talking earlier about the Lord never leaving us nor forsaking us. And we need to remember that he is on our side. Proverbs chapter 1, and let's begin reading at verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know knowledge and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will what? Hear. And will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. How many people today have ignored the knowledge of the Word of God? People are searching for answers and they are ignoring what is so important in our lives, that to know the Lord. Chapter 3, beginning at verse 9. Many have this verse as a life verse. Maybe you also have it. But verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It's a very powerful statement there. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Putting our confidence in the Lord is very important. So in conclusion, let's go to Psalm chapter 37. Psalm chapter 37. It says in verse 1, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Could Esther have put her name right there? Esther, fret not thyself because of Haman. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. The problem is sometimes don't we want it to be done sooner? I tell you what, there have been people I wonder, Lord, why do you allow them to walk the face of the earth? Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord, and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. May I say this, as Esther had put her confidence in the Lord, we need to also put our confidence, no matter what is coming down the road, in the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy. We thank you for the grace that you give us day by day. Lord, have your hand upon us as we leave to go home. And Lord, we just ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.